Who is he? Gamble Rogers. Let's welcome him.
Good evening. Good afternoon. You know, for some reason, it seems like Sunday to me today. Just feels like Sunday. Maybe it's all the good gospel music. I'd like to do a little old sort of a common sense song. Merle Travis put this together, and he called it a horse sense song called That's All. People go to school trying to learn how to teach, and some go to school trying to learn how to preach. If you can't preach without a going to school, then you ain't no preacher, you're an educated fool, and that's all. That's all. You better change your way of living for the good Lord, see, that's all. Well, the man come from monkeys, some folks say, but the good book don't quite tell it that way. You believe that monkey tale like some people do, then I'd rather be the monkey baby than you, and that's all. That's all. You better change your way of living for the good Lord, see, that's all. Yeah. Let's roll this old guitar one time. Well, my little song's finished, my little song's through. I didn't necessarily mean to sing a song for you. If you don't like the way the little song goes, that's a mighty sure sign of been a tromping on your toes, and that's all. That's all. You better change your way of living for the good Lord's sake, that's all. And that's all. You know, before Jimmy Carter came along, I'd have said there was only one man in the whole United States of America who could have won the Democratic nomination for president on the first ballot. Not Ted Kennedy, nor Scoop Jackson, nor Hubert Humphrey. Not even Jimmy Carter. That man, Merle Haggard from Bakersfield, California. This is a Merle Haggard song about the Okies going to California. My drifting memory goes back to the spring of 43, when I was just a child in Mama's arms. My daddy plowed the ground and prayed someday he could leave this rundown mortgaged Oklahoma farm. And then one night I heard my daddy saying to my mama that he'd finally saved enough to go. California was his dream, a paradise, for he had seen pictures in magazines that told him so. California cotton fields, where labor camps were filled with worried men with broken dreams. California cotton fields, as close to wealth as daddy ever came. Nearly everything we had was sold or left behind, from a daddy's plow to the peaches mama canned. And some folks came to say farewell and see what all we had to sell. Some just came to shake my daddy's hand. Oh, the Model A was loaded down and California bound, and a change of luck led just 4 days away. Oh, the only change that I remember seeing for my daddy was when his dark hair turned silver gray. California cotton fields, as close to wealth as daddy ever came. Oh, there's been so much fine gospel music out here today. It kind of takes me back. It takes me back to the first time I ever went out to hear the Grand Ole Opry show. It came down to Orlando, Florida. It was Earl Scruggs and Ernest Tubbs and Mother Maybelle and the Carter girls and John R. Cash. The little lady who stole our hearts away that night was named Martha Carson. She came out wearing a miraculous white dress and carrying a tiny tambourine with which she testified to the likes of Moses and Jesus. In those days, there were only two kinds of music that swung for the white world. Dixieland and white gospel music. And what made this white gospel music swing the way it did? Well, sir, over to her left, Miss Carson had a big burly fellow slapping an upright bass into a hot microphone in double time. Sounded like a whole rhythm section. Over to her other side, she had three young men in business suits singing into one microphone, kind of like the Jordanaires. Had a young man standing right behind her wearing glasses quarter of an inch thick, playing a big blonde Gibson guitar through a half-acre-sized silver tone amplifier, a little bit like this. Then she got to slinging and slapping that tambourine against her leg. We were carried away on the wings of a snow-white dove to a paradise where rhythm and blues is a reality, not some cold Calvinistic quiet tune. On the rock where Moses stood, on the rock where Moses stood. Well, if I could, I surely would stand on the rock where Moses stood, oh sinner, remember me, oh sinner, remember me. Well, if I could, I surely would stand on the rock where Moses stood. About 6 months later, we went back to the same auditorium to hear another Grand Ole Opry show. They brought out a young man from Memphis, Tennessee. They said, be kind to this boy. We believe he's going to be a star. About that time, a strange-looking fellow skittered out from the edge of the stage wearing a tangerine-colored dinner jacket, lemon-colored shark-skin pants, black and white saddle Oxfords with his hair done up in peroxided duck tails. First thing I noticed about this kid was he moved kind of funny. Next thing I noticed was he was using Martha Carson's bass player and little guitar man. Those old boys picking the same righteous church licks behind this kid that they had played behind Miss Carson. But this time they played a whole lot in the sovereign key of E. That's the key of the people. Tricks. Well, you may go to college and you may go to school. Well, you may drive pink Cadillac, but don't you be nobody's fool. Oh, baby, come back, baby doll. Come back, baby doll. Well, come back, baby, I want to play house with you. What? Baby, baby, baby. Baby, 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 baby. Come back, baby, I want to play house with you. Let's play house now. Hey! Listen to me, baby, and try and understand. I'd rather see you dead, little girl, than to be with another man. Baby, come back, baby doll. Come back, baby doll. Well, come back, baby, I want to play house with you. Those of us who weren't too stunned to move went surging backstage. We queued up there and we hollered up. We said, who is that boy with the red coat on? They leaned out and they said, boys, that's the hillbilly cat. We said, what's his name now? They said, Elvin. He was 17 and a half years old, and Randy is a boar coon. Friends, I'd like to slow this thing way down now and thank all of you for making my stay here such a lovely time. Thank Cousin Thelma and Barbara and the fine gentleman who's been providing such great sound. I'd like to try and show you right where this 1950s rock and roll, this Memphis rockabilly music, came from. It didn't come out of the head of Colonel Tom Parker or the juke joints of Memphis, Tennessee, or the mouth of Elvis Presley. It came out of the churches of our land and the good works of the gospel singers like Miss Martha Carson. Swing love, sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me home. Swing. Sweet chariot, come in for to carry me home. Swing down, sweet chariot, stopping, let me ride. Swing down, chariot, stopping, let me ride. Well, rock me, Lord, come and ease ya. I got a home on the other side. See now, swing down, sweet chariot, stopping, let me ride. Swing down, chariot, stopping, let me ride. Well, rock me, Lord, come and ease ya. I got a home on the other side. Thank you. This old house once knew my children. This old house once knew my wife. This old house was home and comfort as we fought the storms of life. This old house once rang with laughter. This old house knew many shouts. Now she trembles in the darkness as the lightning walks about. I ain't gonna need this house no longer. Ain't gonna need this house no more. Ain't got time to fix no shingles. Ain't got time to fix the floor. Got time to no hinges, no to mend no window pane. I'll need this house no longer. Getting ready to meet the same.
Boogie boogie.
My old hound dog Lee's asleep and he don't know I'm gonna leave. Else he'd get up from the fireside and sit and howl and grieve. But my hunting day's over, ain't gonna hunt the cur no more. Gabriel done brought in my chariot when the wind blew down the door. I ain't gonna need this house no longer, ain't gonna need this house no more. Got time to fix no shingles, ain't got time to fix the floor. Got time to oil no hinges, no to mend no window pane. I'll need this house no longer, getting ready to meet the same.
From North Fort Myers to share some of his tales of Florida with us.
Thank you, Cousin Thelma, and howdy, everybody. It's good to be here again because I think I've had a pretty eventful life, and this last trip to Washington was about the biggest honor I'll ever get. There won't be that many people at my funeral. I began to wonder when I found out I was going if I was going to be able to speak to more people than Carter has peanuts or would I get scared and faint. But I made it all right. I had a partner up there, and I decided just to build our state up, I'd start talking about some famous men in Florida. Now, down here at Miami during the boom time, there was a fellow down there. He's a Harvard-educated Bostonian, and he got up to make a big speech. But Mrs. Mary Caldwell, the widow of Dr. Frank Caldwell of Tampa, was down there. And so when he come up, told the crowd, I said, I'm a Bostonian and I was educated in Harvard. You could tell right then he was building himself up. He wasn't any cracker. So he said that most of the people of Florida were living under assumed names, were escaped convicts or something else like that, and said no so-called citizen of Florida had ever accomplished anything worthy of note. It was more than Mrs. Caldwell could stand. She jumped up and said, you may be Harvard educated and you may be from Boston, but says you're still just as ignorant as ever. And she started calling off the names of famous Floridians. She stood there telling him different names, and he stood there with his mouth open and held his mouth open so long that the flies laid eggs on his tonsils. Well, to start with, a lot of our Florida people here were not trash, and they were not escaped convicts. That fellow just didn't know his Floridian. But pardon me for bringing along the slip. It's the same one I used up in Washington. For one, our number one big Florida citizen of long ago, Andrew Jackson, called himself a citizen of Florida for a long time. At least he was governor of Florida long before he was president of the USA. Then we come on down the line here, we've got Zachary Taylor, an Indian fighter. He became governor of Florida, a lawyer in Florida, and he went on to be president of the United States. That wasn't any escaped convict. Well, come on down there, Stephen Mallory, another well-known man and a well-known family name. You remember the Mallory Steamship Lines were a great big company. Okay, we get on down. The first ironclad warship ever used in battle was built by a man from Tampa, Florida, John Brooke. He built the Merrimack. And they come on down, there's Dr. John Gorey of Apalachicola, Florida. We all owe Dr. John Gorey a debt, and we couldn't get along without him, without his product these days. He is the man who invented the ice machine. It's still in use. Over here, we get on below there, there's Count O'Day Philippi. Count O'Day Philippi, you see his name all around, and he's the man that gave Florida the first grapefruit and the best grapefruit down around Pinellas County down there. Count O'Day Philippi was a French count in his own right. He was a schoolmate of Napoleon Bonaparte and was also decorated by the emperor for bravery in battle. He came to the state on his own boat, settled in Florida. Friendly Indians warned him he was to be burned out, so he loaded all of his property, slaves, and everything else on his ship, sailed out from the East Coast to try to come around through the Florida Straits up to Tampa Bay. And on the way, his ship, the Ney, old sailing ship, was captured by a pirate named Gomez. Well, Captain Gomez and pirate crew were all sick with a fever. But being a doctor, Dr. Phillips, he cured their fever. And for which deed, the pirate captain gave him a chest of treasure, set his ship free, and gave him a letter to show that he would never be molested by pirates again. And Captain O'Day Phillips came on up to Tampa and they've got a creek named Phillips down there, Sarasota, but it wasn't named for him. It was named for a Spaniard. And then we got on down the line here. We got Lou Jim Gong over here. He was a horticulturist who gave us several of the best oranges we have in Florida. He was a Chinaman. That proves that Florida is good for everybody. But then we come on down a little farther. There was David Yulee. His name was David Levy, and he wanted to marry an American girl. But with the name he had, which was a Jewish name, her people, they must have been pretty strict to old crackers because he wouldn't let their daughter marry with his Jewish name, so he changed his name to Yulee. And he was a railroad builder, a United States senator. He built one of the first sugar mills in Florida. That first sugar mill in Florida is down at Homosassa Springs today. And last time I looked at the old engine, if I could have a few days with it, I could make the thing run again. Then we get on down below that, we have the railroad twins. That's Henry Flagler and Henry Plant. Henry B. Plant, he took several short lines of railroads, joined them all together, and made the Plant System Railroad. And then he went on and built the Tampa Bay Hotel, which is Tampa University today. And in addition to that, it was one of Plant's engines that made that famous 120 miles an hour in 1901 over road that's laid on the Florida and Georgia dirt. It didn't have to be ballasted like these racetrack roads of today. Then Henry Morrison Flagler, he coupled several small railroads together, built the Florida East Coast Railroad. He built big hotels all the way from St. Augustine to Miami, and he also built the famous Overseas Railroad. That was quite an accomplishment. Then we get on down here a little farther, and there was the Likes brothers. The Likes brothers, their father was a doctor, Dr. Howell T. Likes. His two sons organized the famous Likes Brothers Worldwide Steamship Lines and the big ranches and the big meatpacking business they have down here. Incidentally, I'm from Fort Myers in Lee County. And the Likes Brothers Steamship Company's first cargo of cattle to Cuba was carried over in a boat that belonged to a Lee County commissioner from down home, William H. Told. Now, Bill Told is the same county commissioner who sat on the curbstone down there one night with a shotgun across his lap and kept men from molesting the workmen who tore down the courthouse by firelight. They wanted part of the county, wanted a new courthouse. Well, after one night, they had to have one. Then we get on down, we had three of the greatest men in the world. Thomas A. Edison, the greatest inventor of all time, with 1,079 inventions, most of whom are still in use. And Henry Ford built a home right next to him in Florida. Henry Ford built the only car that could get over the sand hills in the early days before we had paved roads. And come on down there then, Firestone, he came along. He didn't have a home in Florida, but he had a permanent apartment in Edison's home. He made tires to go on all of them. Also, he made sneaker shoes for us boys to wear at church when I was a teenager because we couldn't afford anything else back then. Now we get on here. Yes, Francis Fleming was the governor. John Milton, Army officer and of the Indian Wars, also governor. Incidentally, Governor Milton was the first one, the only one of the Florida governors to commit suicide. Because the Civil War went against the South so badly, he couldn't take it, so he committed suicide. Edward A. Perry, veteran of Civil Wars and governor, and had a town named for him, Perry, Florida. Henry Mitchell, justice of the Supreme Court, lawyer and governor. Colonel Silas A. Jones came down here, and he brought Hamilton Diston, the sawman from Philadelphia. Diston built one of the first sugar mills in Florida, went on to drain in the Everglades, and started the sugar growing in earnest down there. Now, we have several medium-sized and smaller sugar mills in Florida, but we have a figure this out now. We have one sugar mill in Florida at Clewiston, the first one built there. Built there in 1928. And they grind in a 24-hour day. They grind 11,000 tons of cane a day. You figure that's some cane. Well, then we got to get on with the cattlemen then. That's Judge Ziba King. Judge Ziba King, he used to run 50,000 head of cattle in DeSoto County and Charlotte County, Florida. There was old man Jake Summerlin. That was just old Jake Summerlin, they called him. He slept with his cowboys with his head pillowed on his saddlebags full of Cuban gold. But his cowboys loved him enough they didn't try to bother him. Besides, he had a bodyguard. But he never dressed up. Jake Summerlin was never known to dress up and put on Sunday clothes. He took his money and he founded a college in Orlando. So he didn't sound like an escaped convict either. That Harvard-educated Bostonian didn't know his crackers. And then we get back into N.B. Broward. He was a governor and steamboat owner. Also has Broward County name for it. Now, one of the judges, let's see who I've got here. There's the Gambles of Ellington and the Gamble Mansion. That's a state park today. The Chairs family over here of Chairs, Florida, I feel a debt of gratitude toward them because my mother and father were jerked overboard in Suwannee River in 1895. That's just before I was born, and the Chairs boys helped fish them out. And so I feel a debt to them. Incidentally, Benjamin Chairs was a contractor who built the first railroad in Florida to ever use steam. That was the Lake Wimico and Port St. Joseph Railroad. Tallahassee and St. Mark Railroad was the first railroad in Florida, but they used mule power for 20 years. And some of them say they used oxen, too. But then we get back up here to the cattlemen again. Let's see what we got here. Get back up to the cattlemen again. There was old Ziba King. One of his cowboys was the most colorful cowboy in the world. The movers never found a cowboy like Bone Mazel was. Bone's the only known cowboy who ever held a wild cow by the horns and chewed his mark into her ear with his teeth. cowboys, they never had real cowboys back then. Bone Mazel also, he was full of jokes. When a fellow from Vermont came down here and died on his ranch, he wrote the family about it. The family sent money to take him up. But Bone got out to the cemetery with his helpers. He said, boys, he said, that fellow's rich. He's been everywhere and he's seen everything. He said, this old cowboy, Bill Red, never went anywhere. He said, let's give him a good ride. So they shipped the old cowboy back to Vermont instead of the fellow that had plenty of money. Well, then we get on down here of daredevils. We had some daredevils on the rivers here. Back when Suwannee River had plenty of steamboats, I saw myself four steamboats all steamed up and ready to go at Branford down here in 1902. And two of them left while I was there. One of them went out on its regular run. The other steamboat went 2 miles up the river to pick up a trainload of logs that had just been dumped in the river. That was a Shepherd. The Sam Piles has a history behind it. The Three States was the biggest boat to ever steam in the Suwannee. And the Shepherd, the sawmill boat. Sam Piles was the last one. Well, the Sam Piles were built in a little place, just a wide place in the road just inside of Tampa called Floral City. Was in use on the Lake Panasoffica hauling produce. Several more steamboats were built there and used for that. But when the big freeze of 1894-95 came and killed the produce market, that put a crimp in the produce hauling. So most of those fellas just tied their boats up and let them rot down and sink right there at the dock. Captain Sam didn't. He fired up when the river was high and shot the rapids, and he came down the Withlacoochee River in true Alaskan style, came out in the Gulf, went up the Suwannee River, and he hauled produce and freight up there for years and years. Now we get on down here again. I'm cutting this short because I know other people are waiting too, and I don't want to aggravate Cousin Thelma because I'm afraid of her. I'm afraid of her. But so I'm just going to speak about, I'm going to shut up now and talk about Stephen Foster. Stephen Foster, one of the greatest songwriters who ever lived. He wrote some of the greatest songs that ever lived, which is, we all know, Way Down on Suwannee River. Everybody loves that song. Camptown Racing and Old Susanna, although you can't beat them. And the greatest song he ever wrote was Beautiful Dreamer. So if you ever want to learn good music, that's what I tell you to put on and play. Thank you.
Thank you. That was wonderful. Thank you. Well, Elsa, one time, Bud Rabbit went off to the frolic, and in order to get there, he had to cross over the Suwannee River on the ferry boat, because you know good as me that Bud Rabbit don't like to get his foot wet. Besides, he can't swim. And so he went on off to frolic, and he had such a good time playing kissing games with the gals and bobbing for apple and pulling syrup candy and doing the square dance that he forgot to watch the time. And all at once the clock struck 12, and he said, "Gracious sakes alive, let me get on down to that river and get on that boat and get on home before my mammy skinned me alive for being out so late." So lippity-clippity, down he went to the banks of the river, and a ferry boat man done gone home, put the boat up, and there wasn't nobody there. And he say, "Lord of mercy, what am I going to do? I'm going to have to wake up that boat man, get him to take me across this river, because I can't swim." And so he commenced a yoo-hoo, and he say, "Yoo-hoo, woo-hoo," and he kept on a yoo-hooing till he wake up old Bull Alligator sleeping down there under the banks of the river. And old Bull Alligator, he come floating up to the top of the water, and he say, "Who that making all that?"